KNX News, 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Brought to you by LMU Loyola Law School.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
I'm Charles, Mike Simpson, and today for Margaret, we are now down to 5 days, and then showtime. But we're not just voting for president. There are statewide and local ballot measures, too, not to mention judges, although we will mention judges. It can all look confusing and overwhelming, but we are going to help you try to make the best choice in all those local measures that could have a bigger impact on our lives than we all may think. But first,
Kamala Harris says Donald Trump's comment that he would protect women, whether they like it or not, shows he doesn't understand women's rights to make decisions about their own lives. She spoke earlier today in Wisconsin before setting out to spend the day in Arizona and Nevada. The remarks by Trump come as he's struggled to connect with women voters, Harris making the pitch that women should be free to make decisions about their bodies and that if Trump is reelected, more restrictions are going to follow.
Former President Trump, by the way, is traveling to New Mexico and Virginia in the campaign's final days. It's a risky detour from the 7 battleground states to spend time in places where Republican presidential candidates haven't won in recent elections. Trump, like Harris, is also campaigning today in Arizona and Nevada. His team, though, is projecting optimism and thinks he can be competitive against Harris in both New Mexico and Virginia.
The kids may not be telling us the truth. There's a new Axios Vibes survey finds nearly half of Gen Z voters had lied to their friends and family about who they voted for. Numbers only 23% amongst people in all the age groups. So one idea as to why the polarization this election cycle might result in some people just staying quiet or lying. Say, no, I didn't vote for that person. I voted for the other guy.
Yeah, imagine that, lying in a poll.
No way.
Yeah. So you get your ballot. You're excited, maybe, to vote for president, but then you see the ballot has several more pages. Some of the choices are local measures just for your city or county, like a sales tax increase, for example, or maybe a water bond measure.
And you say, I'm going to study every page of this ballot guide.
Well, and that brings me to an interesting topic, and here to help discuss all of this is former longtime L.A. County Supervisor Zev Yaroslavsky, who is now the director of the Los Angeles Initiative at the UCLA Luskin School of Public Affairs. His most recent book is titled Zev's Los Angeles, From Boyle Heights to the Halls of Power, a Political Memoir. Zev, how you doing?
I'm great. Good to be with you.
So here's the thing, right, Zev? So I was looking this up. So The Stranger by Albert Camus is 123 pages. Of Mice and Men by John Steinbeck is 107 pages. Animal Farm by George Orwell is 112 pages. But the general election official guide for California for this election is 142 pages, and I have it in front of me thumbing through it. How is anyone actually going to go through all that?
And nobody 100 years from now is going to be quoting from the ballot guide, I suspect.
The Sparks notes for it. Yeah.
But seriously, I mean, how can the average voter really make anything out of all of this?
Well, look, the law requires that the text of everything that goes on the ballot has to appear in a sample in the ballot guide that people are sent. So we all get a ballot guide that shows us what the title of the measure is, what the text of it is, what the arguments that pro and con arguments that people make, which is probably what most people read, is they want to know in plain English, what does this measure do and who supports it and who opposes it? And then they make a decision. They also look at newspaper endorsements. They also look at radio endorsements. There was the day when KNX used to endorse these things, and so forth. But that's part of the democracy, especially in California, where ballot measures are part of the process. We have a referendum process, an initiative process where people can, by petition, get legislation put on the ballot. All major funding measures have to be approved by the voters, thanks to the state constitution. So there are a lot of things on the ballot. I think the record ballot had 44 state measures on it, and that's not to include the county and the city and the school district.
You get a prize if you make it through all of them. So you get an extra sticker at the end. There's always the issue, like, when do you put something on, right? And there's been the argument, well, you know, if you put it on the presidential ballot for the presidential year, then you're going to get more voters at least to vote on the thing. But then if it's too crowded, to your earlier point, just then maybe people don't even get to where you're wanting them to go.
You know, I have an axiom that I've used that people aren't as uninformed as the political class seems to think they are. I've seen more often than not where people have sniffed out the BS that political advertising does. I have more confidence in the public to make the right decision. They don't always make the right decision, and sometimes the courts overturn boneheaded decisions. But the reason people want to put the proponents of measures want to put the measures on the ballot in a presidential election year or a gubernatorial election year is because that's when most of the voters vote, and all sides tend to think that the more people who vote, the more their side is likely to win. That doesn't always work that way. It doesn't always work that way, but that's the political theory.
So Zev, let's do the Cliff Notes version of the 142-page document. What are like two initiatives that people who live in California, or in particular in L.A. County, or maybe even Orange County, should keep an eye on when they vote on Tuesday?
Well, I'll give you a very short Cliff Notes version of three of them. One of them is Measure G, which is on the L.A. County ballot. And I only am familiar with the L.A. ballots, no offense to Orange County, but I'm not a conversant in that.
He wasn't a supervisor there.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah. There's a Measure G, which is a transformative governance reform measure for the County of Los Angeles. It would, for the first time, create an elected executive, county executive, and elected mayor. Right now, the county is governed by five supervisors. I was one of them. It's a great job if you're one of the five, but it's not the most efficacious, effective way to govern a county that has a close to $50 billion budget and 10 million people. We'd be the 12th largest state in the union if we were our own state. And we'd be about the size of North Carolina or Georgia. Imagine if we went over there and said, boy, we have a good idea for you. Get rid of your governor and your legislature.
But Seth, you know that the board of supervisors is divided on this. And a couple of them, one who we had on just yesterday, who is dead set against it. Are they just flat out wrong?
No, I respect the opposing point of view. There are two points of view. There are some people who feel that the system works. I was in that system for 20 years. I didn't think it worked. And I think the best example I can give you is I wasn't there then, but during the pandemic, where you have a public health director who had to account to five supervisors because there is no one person who's accountable to all the people of the county. So you had some supervisors who wanted a more restrictive regimen, some who wanted a less restrictive regimen, and the public health director had to negotiate with the board of supervisors. And as I've said many times to many of my friends, you can negotiate with the board, but you can't negotiate with the coronavirus. And so those are the kinds of things. Martin Luther King Hospital, which we had to shut down because no one person was accountable. We need to have a different structure of government. That's my opinion. I know Catherine Barger very well. I have the highest regard for her. And I know Holly Mitchell. I can tell you that they are thoughtful people, and I don't disregard their point of view. But there are two points of view to this. There's also an expansion of the Board of Supervisors from 5 to 9 in this measure, and there's also the establishment of an ethics commission built into this measure. So there are three component parts. I want to get quickly to the other one. Measure A in the county, which is an increase of a quarter cent in sales tax for the homeless. I know there's a lot of frustration. I feel it sometimes myself about the pace at which we're dealing with the homeless problem in our region. But there is progress being made, and progress isn't made without having the resources to do it. How long it'll take us to end the homeless crisis, I don't know. We've had it for 120 years in Los Angeles. I doubt if we're going to solve it in the next couple of years.
But isn't that one of the problems, Ev, is that there's always this thing about we need more money. We need a tax increase to do this, or we need to do. And yet, as you just pointed out, it's a problem that's gone on for quite some time. When does it stop?
So the problem has not been as acute in the last 120 years as it has in the last 15 or 20. Look, this is the problem that this measure has. I think it probably passes. Maybe it's going to be closer than it was in 2017 when there was a similar measure. People want to see results. And I think the city and the county can make a better case for the results they're making. I can see the improvement in my neighborhood and in my part of town. It's not the same in all parts of town. However, I can tell you this, that people say, well, we had a quarter cent sales tax. What do we need another quarter cent sales tax for? If we want to increase the pace, step up the pace and provide the services that address the reasons that the people who are on the streets, unhoused on the streets, the reasons that put them there in the first place, we've got to have the resources. If it's drug abuse, we have to give them, you know, drug treatment. If it's alcoholism, we've got to deal with that. If it's mental health, we've got to deal with that. We've got to do all of those things at the same time to scale up the services, which are not adequate to deal with the 40 or 50,000 people who live on the streets every night.
All right. Former L.A. County Supervisor Zev Yaroslavsky, now the director of the L.A. Initiative at the UCLA Luskin School of Public Affairs. And he's got that book, Zev's L.A., From Boyle Heights to the Halls of Power, a political memoir. Now, if we could all turn to page 42 of our voter guide, well, there'll be a pop quiz on... We're going to come back, actually, and talk a little bit about those judges, right?
Because
there's a long list of judges, and you're like, who are these people, and what do I do with them, and where do I learn about them? Countdown 2024, brought to you by...
That's on page 97, actually.
LMU Loyola Law School, where students ignite justice. LLS.edu/radio.
This is Countdown 2024.
On KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Welcome back. It's Thursday of Countdown 2024, along with Charles Feldman. Mike Simpson here in for Margaret Carrero. We went over the local ballot measures, why you shouldn't skip over those and actually take a look at that voter guide. There are some other choices in there on page, in the 90s, into the hundreds.
Yeah.
And most of us know little or nothing about the people running for these positions to be judges.
I'm up to 109 on that page.
Well, you got five more days.
Yeah. So. Well, we've all seen local judges up for election or re-election on the ballots. But as Mike just said, many of us know little to nothing about them. Most of us have no idea who they are, what they stand for, what kind of judge they might be. But because most of us are never in court, that's the reason why. So how do we figure out who to choose? And why do we even vote for judges anyway? With us is Loyola Marymount Law Professor Jessica Levinson. She's an expert in election law and the political process. So, Jessica, I know when it comes time to voting for judges, I'll be very honest. I have no idea who I'm voting for or why I'm voting for them. I may as well throw a dart at a dartboard. In fact, maybe that's what I would
like
do.
The best.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So the first question is the bigger question. Why are we, when a lot of countries, I think most actually Western countries, do not elect judges, why do we?
Because we love weighing in on questions like this, and we love accountability, and we love the idea that judges will still be accountable to the electorate, and that if they make decisions that we think really abuse their discretion or transgress the bounds of what we're comfortable with, that we can say not so fast and vote them out of office. And I think there are tons of reasons why we shouldn't treat judges like other, like politicians, like members of other branches. But the truth is that it's very difficult to get people to give up the right to weigh in on something. And we tend to love to add our ability to vote on positions as opposed to give it up. But I think there are plenty of good reasons why we should say that what judges do is fundamentally different than what lawmakers or members of the executive branch do, and that it maybe doesn't make a lot of sense to make them subject to political pressure, and also, as you said, to choose them based on so little information.
Why do we vote for local judges in this country, but we don't vote for federal judges?
So this is a great question. On the federal level, we have a completely different system where we have decided that judges should be outside of or above politics. So on the federal level, as all of your listeners know, the president chooses somebody, the president appoints, and then the Senate confirms, or that's how it's supposed to work. The Senate gives advice and consent. And the idea is that these Article III judges have lifetime appointments and can only be removed if they're impeached. And the purpose behind that is to say to judges, what you do is apply the facts to the law. And sometimes that's not going to be popular. And sometimes you're going to be weighing in on questions of individual rights. And sometimes judges are the last ones that can prevent us from experiencing tyranny of the majority. And so almost by definition, we don't want judges subject to political pressure. We've just made a different calculation when it comes at least to state trial court judges.
So when I'm looking at those, when I'm on my ballot, and I don't know next to nothing about these people, and I haven't heard of them because they're not running TV ads, and some don't even have websites, what am I supposed to do? What do I look for? Where do I find it?
I know, this is so difficult. So I think one of the places to look that's really helpful in Los Angeles is to look at the Bar Association, the Los Angeles County Bar Association interviews these candidates, interviews people who know them and work with them, and gives rankings. And as we know, there are five different offices up for election this time around, and there are different rankings that the LA County Bar Association gives. So there's exceptionally well-qualified, and not qualified. And so that is helpful to a point. The issue, which often happens, is that in two of the five races, the candidates both get the same ranking. The candidates running against each other are both either both qualified or both well-qualified. At that point, I think it requires us to do even more work, which is to do things like go to newspapers or other media outlets that we might trust, or to look at nonprofits that we might trust, other parties, political parties, other organizations.
This is like a lifetime project.
I know. This is it.
Is this why they give me the day off to vote,
job,
so I can go and figure out all this stuff?
You need like a year off. Jessica, is maybe the best thing to do for a lot of people is simply not to vote for judges, or at least if they feel that they don't know enough about the judges on the ballot, and if they don't have the time, and God knows I think most people don't, to go through the kinds of stuff that you're saying you need to go to really educate yourself about these judges, are you better off just passing and don't vote for them?
Well, I mean, I think that that is an entirely rational question. Now, of course, I'm a lawyer, so we are known for not answering questions, just giving options. So what I will say is, if it's truly the case...
Very good.
I like that answer.
Yes, well, so I guess what I would say is, if you can go to the LA County Bar Association or your local county bar association and just look at ratings, and if you feel those ratings are credible, and you can at least weigh in on those particular races where there's a difference between the ratings of the candidates, then that's getting us part of the way there. But if the ratings are tied and you can't make it your part-time job to vote on judicial elections, then I understand that for some people, just not voting is a completely rational decision, as opposed to, you know, the DART phenomenon that you talk about at the beginning of our segment, which is, you know, both understandable and deeply terrifying at
just
the same
put
time.
Put the Sharpie over the thing and drop it, yeah, and see where it lands. That's how you do it. All right. Loyola Marymount Law Professor, Legal Analyst Jessica Levinson, thanks, as always.
Coming up on tomorrow's Countdown 2024, are you so worried and nervous about the election that it's stressing you out? It's a problem many, many people are dealing with right now. And if you are one of them, we will help you manage your election-related anxiety.
I charge $100 an hour. Just talk to me.
Oh, I do $200. Okay. And feel better. You're undercutting me, Mike. Remember, we're here every weekday afternoon at 2:30. If you miss a show, catch up on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Countdown 2024, brought to you by LMU, Loyola Law School, where students ignite justice, lls.edu/radio.